now back again to tell us what it says in Friday's papers, John S. Doyle.
One story dominates the papers in the Republic: the conclusion of inquest into the deaths of 48 young people in the fire at the Stardust nightclub on St. Valentine's Day 1981. And photographs of all the young Dublin faces look out from the front pages. The Irish Independent has 12 pages of coverage, including a profile and a picture of each of those who died. In the Irish Times, Kitty Holland, who reported on the 90 days of evidence heard by the jury, puts together the full story of the disaster over two pages under the graphic headline, "Jesus Christ, the doors are locked." They are the words of one of those trying to get out, recalled by a survivor, Trevor King. "Now the families finally know what happened," says the Independent in an editorial. "All the victims were unlawfully killed. Justice will not fill the void, but at least it is a recognition of a grave wrong." "At long last, families get the truth about Stardust," is the headline in the Irish Examiner over a two-page account by Sean Murray. The Irish Daily Star, Irish Daily Mirror and Irish Daily Mail front pages have a picture of Antoinette Keegan, who lost two sisters in the fire, with her hands joined and her eyes up to the sky. "Thank God we won," is the Mirror headline. The Mail headline highlights the victims' families' demand for an official state apology. "A criminal investigation is now the very least the victims and families deserve," says the Independent in an editorial. "But a new investigation is not a given," says the Times. "The lasting significance of yesterday's verdicts may be their vindication of the persistent and dignified search for answers by the families from a state that at times seemed less than willing to face its obligations." From the North, the Irish News reports that a former senior PSNI officer set to take over as chief executive of the Police Ombudsman's Office, Hugh Hume, was once exonerated in a high-profile investigation by the agency. The Belfast Telegraph leads with the report of a plea hearing at Belfast Crown Court yesterday, at which it emerged that two of the children of North Belfast woman Caoimhe Morgan were at home when she was murdered there by her partner, Taylor George McIlvenagh. He is serving a life sentence for the murder. The Examiner, in an editorial, pays tribute to the broadcaster Alf McCarthy, who has died at the age of 73. "Mr. McCarthy wore many different hats," says the paper, "but for a sizeable constituency, he will always be associated with Cork local radio. At a time when creeping homogeneity threatens regional voices and local identities, it is worth remembering the service he and his dedicated colleagues gave Cork City for over 20 years," says the paper. In other stories, in the Times, Joe Brennan looks in detail at how Ireland's newly rich are putting their money to work in secretive firms, a plethora of family investment vehicles which has sprung up in Dublin around Fitzwilliam Square. In The Examiner, Paul Hosford writes about the crucial decisions facing the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, at his first European Council meeting, most notably on Gaza and Ukraine. Hosford reports that the Taoiseach bristled somewhat when asked in Brussels what he made of criticism that he is inexperienced at this high level. Mr. Harris mentioned the six European prime ministers he has already met and said that everyone in the room had had a first council meeting at one point. The Independent reports on new carriages for the Dart commuter service. Adrian Weckler writes that the carriages, which start to come into service in Dublin next year, will have automatic wheelchair ramps and be open plan between linked units to make people feel safer. It will be easier to bring pets on board, there is a modified system for racking bicycles, and batteries will enable the train to travel north from Malahide to Drogheda.
John, thank you.